one of my favorite songs right now. It's all about us worshiping God for what he has. We don't have nothing else that we can give God. God has done it all for us. It's not what we can do. It's what he has done for us. For us. And that's amazing that the God of this world, the God of the creation, the God of this universe says, I love you. And that's awesome. This morning, I want to talk about faithfulness. His faithfulness to us. And how we should be faithful to him. So before we start, let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this morning. God, I thank you for using somebody despite who I am. God, as we open up your word, I pray that you hide me behind your cross. Pray that you give me clarity. I pray that you help us to open up our hearts and our minds to you. God, help us not to be a hearer, but a doer of your word. God, help us to grow. Help us to become more like you. As a song says, less like me and more like you, God. God, I pray that you will help us to see how awesome you truly are. Use me as your mouthpiece. God, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll be in the book of Psalms this morning. Psalms chapter number 37 is where we'll be this morning. But I've been thinking about faithfulness here lately. And I've been thinking about words that kind of get just thrown around in our language. You know, words like love. We throw the word love around like it's a $1 bill or, in today's economy, a penny. You know, we kind of throw it around like it's nothing. It doesn't mean nothing anymore. You know, I want love to mean something. But there's another word that I think that we do too that is starting to become that same thing, and that's faithfulness. Faithfulness. And you say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, do we truly stay faithful to something? We don't. It's very rarely that we hear faithfulness to somebody who's been in a job for more than 30 years. You know, we're always looking for the new next big dollar job. We don't stay faithful sometimes. Or sometimes, and I'm not knocking people who've been married two or three times. I'm not knocking that. But sometimes people don't stay faithful to their spouses. You know, you don't hear that people have been married for 50, 60 years that much no more. You don't. And again, I'm not knocking anybody who's been married twice, but you don't hear that no more. Everybody's looking for the new, best, trending, viral thing. What's our new phones going to look like? What's our next new car? Is it going to be electric or is it going to be gas? You know, we're looking for those things. God wants us to be faithful to him. Because of what I said earlier, because he has been faithful to us. He has kept every promise that he has gave to us. In the book of Psalms, chapter number 37, chapter number 37, verse number 3 is what we're going to look at this morning. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about faithfulness. We're going to get to faithfulness, but we got to talk about a few other things before we get there this morning. It says this in verse number 3. It says, trust in the Lord and do good, so thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Verse number 4 says this, is we all know this verse, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. I was talking about words that kind of get loosely talked about. Has anybody heard the word snout fair? Anybody heard that word snout fair? Snout fair. Yeah. You know what the word snout fair means? that a person has a beautiful accountant or a handsome accountant. They are pretty or they are handsome. Has anybody, Danny Childress, has anybody told you you look snout fairish today? But we don't know that word. Do you know two generations ago that was a word that they used? Maybe three generations ago? I looked it up in the dictionary. It was a very common word back then. But you know, in our dictionary today, it's not there. Words are starting to be displaced or not used. And I'm afraid that's what's going to happen to faithfulness if we're not careful. It's going to happen if we're not careful. We're going to lose faithfulness. But there's a few things. There's something in this, in verse number 3, that we need to talk about. To be faithful, we got to do a few things or look at a few things to show that we're faithful to God. Number 1, we got to see that we trust in the Lord. That we trust in the Lord. Do you know in the Old Testament alone, trust in the Lord was said 158 times in 152 verses. Trust in God was said a lot. God himself, talking to the Israelites, talking to prophets, talking to kings, talking to whomever, he said, trust in me. This morning, if you have not placed your trust in God, you can't do nothing yet. The first thing that we must do is we all have to put our faith and our trust in God. Now, what does that trust mean? That trust means that we have a high confidence that God is who he says he is. That God came to this earth, that he died for me and he died for you, a very brutal death. And then on the third day he arose and he lives in heaven with his Father right now at this very moment. He's not a dead God. He's not an old man God that just sits up there and does nothing. He is a living God that intercedes for me and for you. I believe that if God tells us to do something, we need to do it, of course. But if he says it just in the Old Testament alone 158 times, and can I tell you something? The Old Testament is meant for us too. It does apply to us too. It's not just for the Israelites. It applies to us too in some aspects. We need to listen to that. And if God says it 158 times, we need to take heed on that. We need to know that God truly means business with us. That God wants us to trust him. Why? Because he's worthy of it. He's worthy of our worship. He's worthy of our trust. Has he ever failed you yet? Because he hasn't failed me. He hasn't failed me in my mess ups. He's always picked me back up and said, hey, let's keep going. Hey, I love you. Even though you've messed up, I'm still there for you. Trust in God. And if we trust in him, and we truly trust in him, then we will seek after him. If we truly say, God, I love you, and I'm trusting that even though tomorrow may be a bad day, I don't know what's coming, but I'm going to trust you that you're going to get me through it, then we can start seeking after what he wants for us. We can start seeking after what he has for us. So number 1, we got to trust in him. We got to trust in him. Number 2, it says this, and do good. Now I started thinking about that. Do good. When I heard that when I was a kid, there was a few things that went in my mind. Number 1, perfectionism. Perfectionist. We got to be perfect. We can't sin. We can't fall. We can't fail towards God. God's not going to love us But that's wrong. That's wrong. Number two was, when I thought about this, was the kind of conceited, well, you better be good, young man. You better do this, young man. But that's wrong, too. That's not what David was saying here. He wasn't saying perfectionism. He wasn't saying you better perform. And he wasn't saying you better not mess up. Because can I give you a little hint? I mess up when I get out of the bed every day. I'm a sinner. That's my nature. I sin. That's your nature. We sin. We're going to mess it up. That do good there is an action word. In the Hebrew language, it's an action word, and it means this: to love broken people. To love people where they're at. To love people. To show love to them. Because of what God has done for us, God wants us to show His love. God wants us to love people. He wants us to help people. But it's not just to do good. You know, when we hear that, we're always hearing, hey, don't mess up. Don't mess up. Don't do this. But it's not that. It's to love people. Even when they're hard to love. Can I say that again? Even when they're hard to love. Because we're all hard to love at some point. Including me. Ask my wife. She'll tell you. We're all hard to love because we're stubborn. We're selfish. It's all about us sometimes. But God says, no, I want you to love them even when they're hard to love. Even when you don't feel like loving people. When you want to be that hermit sometimes. And you just want to be about yourself and you don't want to do anything with anybody. Can I tell you something? God did not mean for us to do life alone. In the book of John, in chapter 3, when he first gets his disciples together, he doesn't just tell them to go and do. He takes them back to where he was staying at. And he starts teaching them. He starts this relationship with them. And that's what God is telling us here. He's saying, love people where they're at. Have a relationship with them, a friendship with them to help them. Our church here, Victory Baptist Church, is not about downing or shaming or any of that. We're about loving people, helping people. We're a hospital, not a cemetery. We all have problems. We all have things that we are messed up in. God said, Paul even says, I have a besetting sin. We all have that sin. And if we come, we should be able to come to each other and say, man, Brother Ed, I'm struggling. I need you. He shouldn't feel like he has to go down to Bryson City and tell everybody. We should wrap our arms around each other and say, man, I love you. Let me help you through this. That's what David was telling. That's what David was telling when he wrote this psalm. He was saying, hey, love people. You first got to trust God. But then love people. Love people where they're at. Number three, he says this. Thou dwell in the land. So shall thou dwell in the land. Okay. Today's society, we have a phone, maybe multiple phones. We have TVs. We have cars. We all, most of us work if we're not retired or, you know, whatever. We have all the stuff that we're a part of. And God is telling us this right here. He's saying, dwell in the land. Or he's saying, be where you're at in the moment. David was telling, when he was writing this psalm, he's saying, be where you are in that moment. When I get home, you can ask my wife, and I struggle with this I'm going to be honest. When I get home, I like to turn on the TV, and then I start scrolling through Facebook while having a conversation with her. So that selective hearing, guys, that we have, it kicks in. I'm being honest with you. It happens because I got to know what's happened. I got to know what my friends are doing. But God is saying, hey, no. You need to stop that. Enjoy being in the moment. Because you won't get that moment back. And I'm learning that with my two kids. I'm learning that. Because there are some times where I kind of say, no, I don't want you right now. Stop being annoying, you know? But God is saying, hey, he's teaching me. If this is not for you, he's teaching me, hey, be in the moment. Enjoy what God is in front of you. Because here's the problem. When we're doing Facebook and we're on Amazon buying our stuff and we're watching TV and we're trying to do this and trying to do that, we're not seeing what God has right there in front of us. We're not seeing the blessings that God has right there in front of us. I got two little boys. Both of my little boys I call miracles. Daniel was in the NICU for 10 days. Came out having seizures, acid in the blood, a lot of other complications. Was in the NICU for 10 days. And I thought when he went to the NICU, I was like, oh man, this is not good. Now I've learned a lot more about it. But and when your little baby that just came out, you don't get to hold them. They have to go straight up and have doctors put needles and stuff in their bodies. It's terrifying. It's terrifying. God has taught me that, hey, I have two little blessings, two little miracles in my life that I just need to enjoy and sometimes even learn from. God says, be in the moment. We live in a hustle-bustle world. We live in the most viral, the most trending, the most new, everything. And God is saying, hey, be still. Another part of the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. When we're going and we're doing all these things, we cannot be still. We can't hear God because we got all these other voices going inside of us and that we're blocking God out sometimes. God says, be still. Be in the moment. Listen to what I have for you. Because also, not only do we miss the blessings that he gives us, but sometimes we miss the opportunities that he gives us. I do not like going to the grocery store. I don't just dislike it. I loathe it, okay? I despise it. But I go because I know what we need. And I know we need to go to the grocery store. But sometimes I forget what I'm getting because once I get in there, I see 50 people that I know and they all come up and talk to me. And that's how we are with God. Sometimes we go into that grocery store to get something for God, and then we get sidetracked because we see ice cream or we see our friends or we see this or that. And instead of going exactly what God wanted us to get, we forget it. There have been many times where I come out of the grocery store and I forget what I even was supposed to come and get. Whether it's hamburger buns or whatever. And I know that's silly and goofy, but that's true. That's how we are. We don't slow down and think. We just do. And God's saying, whoa, slow down. He says, slow down. Be in the moment. Enjoy the moment. Because if we be in that moment and we know that we trust God, that we're loving people, that we're there in the moment, then let's look at this. In verse number 4, he says this. If we are being in the moment, then we are delighting ourselves in God. And that He will give you the desires of your heart. And we'll get to the last part of that verse 3 moment. But can I tell you something? I always thought about this. If I trust God and I believe that He is the one true God, and I know that He is who He is, and I'm loving people, I'm doing what I think is right, then God, you're going to give me the desires of my heart. That's what it says right there, right? That's what we think, right? But can I give you something? That's not what He's saying. He's saying, if you seek after Me, I will change your desires to the desires that I want you to have, and you will then have kingdom desires instead of earthly desires. Your desires will then have changed. If you're trusting and seeking after Him and you're loving people, you're in that moment, He's going to show you kingdom desires that He wants you to have instead of personal desires. Remember at the beginning, I said it's not about us. It's all about what He has done. And because of what He has done for us, He gives us those desires because He loves us. And when those kingdom desires are placed on our hearts, the book of Esther says this, that we are placed here for such a time as this. He says, hey, look, once you find out what your purpose is and you slow down what the purpose is of your life, then I can tell you where to go and what to do. And that's what He's telling us to do. He's telling us to slow down a little bit so I can speak to you, so I can give you what I need you to do for Me. We are all placed here for this moment, for this day, to serve Him and to worship Him. There may be days where you're like, God, I don't know where You're at. God, I don't know what You want me to do. I believe in those times, He wants us just to be still and be quiet and turn off the TVs, turn off the Facebooks, turn off the Twitters, the Snapchats, all the apps, all of that stuff. And listen to what He has for us. Because He loves us. The last part of that verse, in verse number 3, says this, and verily thou shalt be fed. Now, I looked up the Hebrew word for that part of the verse, and that word is raha. Raha. Right? I was like, okay, what's that mean? Because I like to know what the Hebrew or the Greek meaning, whichever part of the Bible you're reading, I like to know what the original text was. Because it helps us to learn what the author was actually talking about there. Well, let me tell you what that means. Raha means to feed or to graze, to drive out, to pastor, to shepherd, to protect, or to cultivate. All right? So that word, from what I get from that word is a farmer's word. A farming word. Word that they used when they were farming. Well, they were big farmers in that time. Can I give you some statistics about how things have changed just in the past 200 years? In 1820, 70% of American workforce were farmers. In 2020, 1.5% of American workforce was farmers. That's crazy. In 200 years, it went from the majority to very few. Not even the minority. I mean, it was very few. And I say that because we don't understand, a lot of us, including myself, a lot of times don't understand farming. We don't understand what it goes into farming and goes into doing these things. What the writer is saying here is this, is that we need to befriend faithfulness. We need to cultivate faithfulness. Cultivating, if you don't know, it's to prepare the fields for planting. It's to get ready so that the seed can grow and to mature and to give us those fruits and vegetables that we all love. Well, our faithfulness, we don't just get it and that's it. God wants us to grow. God wants us to learn. And so in this part, in David was saying, thou shalt be fed. I like that because he's like, look, you just don't stop there. You have to continually grow yourself, to teach yourself, not by yourself, but through God. So God says, hey, befriend righteous or faithfulness. Make it a part of your life. You know what the great thing about Christianity is? Is that we don't have to create anything new. We get to get up and do what God has for us each and every day. There's a lot of religions out there that you got to get up and do something new here and do something new there. Great thing is God's already done it. God's already did everything. And all he's asking us to do is to be faithful to him because he's been faithful to us. A Hebrew scholar said that we need to be diligently seeking after faithfulness. He said that's probably the best way to put that into that verse, into text for our English language. He says, you know, we need to diligently seek after faithfulness to God and to grow our faithfulness. See, when we get saved, the Bible says we're like babes in Christ, that we have to suck on the milk. We have to drink milk. We can't take the heavy parts of the Bible, but we have to start shallow. And as we grow, we get deeper, and then we get to have that meat or the T-bone steaks or whatever kind of steak you like. And we get to grow deeper and deeper and deeper. That's faithfulness. That's trusting in him. That's loving people. We start here and we get deeper and deeper and deeper and we grow and we learn more and more. And God says, okay, I can give you a little bit more now. I can teach you a little bit more. So first we have to trust God. Or have all full confidence that God is who he says he is to us. We have to love people where they're at. And that's hard, hard sometimes. But we are called to love people. Number three, we are called to be still and listen to what he has. And lastly, we are called to befriend faithfulness. We are to grow our faithfulness. Tomorrow might be a hard day. Tomorrow might be one of the most difficult days you have ever faced. But can I challenge you today to decide to trust in God, to love people, to be where you're at, and to grow in faithfulness in his word? Because if you choose to do those things, can I tell you, it will help. It will help you. Because my plan may blow up tomorrow. But if I'm seeking after God, he will help me to have a good attitude. He will help me to know what to do. And he will help me to love people.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your love and your grace. God, I pray right now that you will help us to trust in you. God, I can't never assume that there is one, that everybody here is your child and saved. God, I pray right now that if there is one here that's not saved, that's not part of your family, that hasn't trusted you as their Savior, I pray that today will be the day that they do that. God, we can all do better in loving people. We can all do better in being still and being quiet and listening to your voice. And God, help us to be faithful to you in everything that we do. Now, for the next few moments, help us to open up our hearts to respond to your word. In Jesus' name. Let's all stand, keep our heads bowed and eyes closed. If you need to do business with God, I ask you, you can do it at your seat or you can come down to this altar.